You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an idea for which
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio. Changing the world, one voice at a time.
Okay, what it do? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Law Show Science Package right here on Madiba's Radio, where we connect, inform, and absolutely engage. The name is Katlego Mofokeng. I'm also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets, and I am not alone. You know the vibes. Introduce yourself, kind sir.
Of course, my name is Tsoka Katelo Ndlovu, the brightest star on the airwaves. And listen, this episode, it's about to be hot. It's about to be juicy, because we're getting into the conversations that actually need to happen.
Yes, it's SRC election season, do or die, last minute, bona. We've got your presidential candidates in studio.
Imagine.
Okay, and we had to start with that red party. Those red people. Mr. Sir, please introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Ken. It's Dilo. My name is Oluwatu Tauka. I'm the EFF Youth Command presidential candidate ahead of the 2025 SRC elections.
Thank you so much for actually honoring this invite. We're going to get right into it and start hitting you with the hard questions.
Please.
Your political party right now is asking for Ama Love Back.
Sicela Love Back.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
It is quite the campaign and it's very catchy, but honestly, it would mean that your relationship with the students right here at this institution is fractured, which would mean that's why you're asking for a love back. What fractured your relationship with the people?
Well, thank you very much for that question, Kat. I think it's going to give perspective to a lot of people and a lot of people that have these particular questions. Look, we were in governance last year. I'm not going to beat around the bush about it. We've made several mistakes that which we saw and we analyzed them and we self-corrected as the EFF Youth Command, and we said ahead of these SRC elections, we must make sure that we take those flaws and mistakes and we turn them into our advantages. You know, that's why today we are confident and we are rallying the campaign towards the Sicela Love Back slogan, because you know when you have a fractured relationship with someone, it is only humane for the person who has made the mistake to acknowledge the mistake and make sure that from that mistake they do better going forward. And that's what we're bringing to the students of Mandela. And a renewed mandate, a renewed leadership, different faces, completely new energy, people that have the hearts of students, right? That is what we are doing here. Let's get love back.
Okay, well, the best way for anyone to apologize is changed behavior. Explain to us how your behavior has changed as opposed to when you were in leadership last year, this year particularly.
So the main reason is that when we're in governance, we've made a lot of mistakes. The mistakes pertaining to social media recklessness, right, where there were so many revelations on social media on how members have actually done things during the SRC term, you know, who are not governance-like. So this year, we are saying that we're going to come with a better behavior, a better governance-like character, meaning that we are going to represent the students and not focus on many other things. Mm-hmm. Social life must be limited. Mm-hmm. The social media visibility must be limited, and we must be more on the ground tackling the challenges of our students mm-hmm. on a daily basis. That's why I'm wearing a reflector today. I am here to show the students that we are not about suits and ties and those yellow ties of Mandela, Majibas. We are not about that. We are going to be constantly wearing these reflectors to show our students that we will be on the ground tackling their issues on a daily basis. Mm.
And I do feel like visibility is like very important, especially like this year, because the students do want to see actual change occurring. Because at the end of the day, as you said, like, it's all about behavior that is government-like. Because before, the whole social media drama and the whole dragging each other, it wasn't a good look, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it has tainted the reputation of the party. And I feel like, would you say, personally, it's kind of like the people who were in leadership before? Or could you also say that actually it also goes all the way back to the whole EFFYC in general?
So you would appreciate that at Mandela, it's not only the EFFYC that is a political party. Mm. So there's a political battle that happens immediately after SRC elections have taken place. Mm. So the ones that have lost obviously would want to drag the name of the ones that have won. Mm. So in January, immediately, if you would analyze the politics of Mandela, the first thing that political parties are going to do is to criticize and scrutinize the behavior of the leadership that is in governance. Mm-hmm. So that is what has taken place in 2024. Immediately when we took office in January, they looked at individual characters of our leaders and they scrutinized even their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Leaving the political terrain, they went to a personal life where they started seeing flaws and mistakes of individual leaders. Then they take those flaws and mistakes, they bring them back to what? To the students as a political character, which is incorrect. And it's a culture that we need to do away with here at Mandela, because it is not only career limiting for student leaders, but it is also damaging to the people who do not have really the knowledge of politics, but are gullible to whatever that leaders say to them. So that is a culture that we need to do away with.
Okay. I appreciate the fact that we're being very open and honest about certain things, especially considering the fact that, look, let's look at it chronologically, right? At the very beginning of this year, we had a freshers. And at freshers, quite a lot of students lost their lives, unfortunately. And it was a very big weekend. That weekend, off campus, certain incidents happened, for which the following week, we saw political organizations all rallying behind victims and their families, going as far as to stand outside courts. So walk me through how, at the very beginning of the year, you had to be on the ground doing the main work. What was that?
So let me quickly get back. Track back,
okay,
right, yeah, to what I've said, that you know, we have a better appreciation of politics as the EFF Youth Command. You know, even there in the freshers, in that incident where a lot of students lost their lives, we could have taken that and pushed a political narrative about it, that the leadership that is current this year has killed our students. But we decided not to do that because we understand politics at a better and broader spectrum, you know. And we also were sensitive to the situation that bereaved those families who lost their students, right? So we could not bring ourselves to the political terrain and take that particular incident and politicize it, you know. But instead, what we did, we were the first ones on the scene. While others were busy dancing inside the venue, we were the ones who were carrying the bodies, lifeless bodies of students, into ambulances so that they can be attended to at provincial, what is this hospital here in Costin? The public one.
Livingston
Hospital. We took those students, we went there, we stayed until 7 a.m. The party ended around 2 a.m. We stayed in the hospital until around 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. So that we were able to understand better the conditions of the students who were hospitalized. And those that were rendered dead at the site, we tried to gather information of their families. We were there, all of us, joining hands. We did not politicize the situation. Mm-hmm. So even then, it is not a nice feeling for a student leader to attend to such cases. It is really not something that you wake up thinking that you are going to do. It's not something that you wake up and anticipate. So it's not a great feeling to attend to such issues. We were there, and we're going to be there even for future incidences that are similar to that. Mm. That is what we are as the EFF Youth Command. We do not politicize sensitive issues like that. Mm. Instead, we just want to be there and lend a helping hand, because we're a friend of all victims of Mandela. We're a friend of all students of Mandela. Whether we're in a happy situation, whether we're in a tragic situation, the EFF Youth Command is going to be there.
Okay. We can look at that and slowly segue into student issues. Now, we are aware of all of the student issues on campus. We have student hunger, historical debt, we have accommodation issues, we have funding issues, accessibility, and the like. And naturally, a manifesto usually speaks to student issues. And we have not heard of a manifesto launch from your political organization. What do you have to say about that?
Thank you very much again for that one. It's a good question, Kat. The EFF Youth Command is going to hold its manifesto launch tomorrow, mm-hmm. North Campus Auditorium at 14:00. Mm-hmm. So anyone that cares, or rather anyone that is curious to listen to the manifesto of the EFF Youth Command, mm-hmm. is more than welcome to come and join us at 14:00 mm-hmm. at North Campus Auditorium. That is where we're going to give our students the mandate and the commitments that the EFF Youth Command is making towards these SRC elections. Okay. By the way, we have had consultations, manifesto consultations with our students. We started in Costin, we went to North End, from North End we went to Town Central, from Town Central we also came here to Summer Street. We've had some issues in between, but the conversations we've had with our students at least have shaped the manifesto of the EFF Youth Command. It's not going to come from heaven. It's not going to be a process where we're just thinking of our own issues that emanate from our own small circles. It's going to be a manifesto that speaks to all 33,000 students of Mandela, because we have engaged and interacted with them. We know their feelings about Mandela. We know their ideas. We know how they want to go forward in terms of the academic project of Mandela and holistically the living and learning material conditions of Mandela.
Okay. There have been many questions about whether or not postgraduate students are actually considered when it comes to manifestos and the like, and their issues particularly. Have you managed to speak to any postgraduate students, and have you been able to add that to your manifesto?
Of course. Postgrad students play a very integral role within the institution. Mm-hmm. We have had an attempt, I think 2 weeks back, where we spoke to the RES manager, coordinator of Postgraduate Student Village, mm-hmm. where we wanted to have a meeting with them. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the communication that we passed to the RES manager, it fell on deaf ears.
Okay.
Meaning that we were not given the entertainment that we wanted to receive. Mm. We wanted to have a conversation with our students in a formal setting, mm-hmm. where we just sit, no table, just us and them. Where we interact and exchange ideas as to how do they see the university and what would they want to see happen in the next year or two. So apart from that, we have had engagements with them individually from our small corners. Mm-hmm. But of course, those small corners do not represent the whole group of postgrad students. Mm-hmm. But we're going to appreciate the small corners conversations, because that is the only conversations that we're able to get. Mm-hmm. So number one, there is no portfolio in the SRC that speaks to postgrad students. Mm. And that is something that we need to fix, because how do we then propel the voices of postgrad students if they are not within the government structures of Nelson Mandela University? Mm. So we first need to encompass them, or rather integrate them into the institutional governance structures. They must sit in various portfolios and committees within the university so that they can be able to voice out wherever ideas, frustrations, and challenges that postgrad students are facing. Mm. It must not be a prerogative of the president only to speak about all communities at Mandela. All communities must be represented. Because if, for example, we were to analyze the SRC, how is it structured? Faculties have a representative.
Yes.
All 7 faculties are represented. All of campus students are represented through an Obitani Council. Mm. All local local all local campuses are represented, and then we have a central SRC that joins all these various committees. We have your committees that are represented through a Housecom. There is a central committee of house committees that report to the SRC directly. But we do not have any kind of representation that comes from postgrad students. So we want to change that. And we are going to change it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it would not be a real conversation if we did not address the elephant in the room. A lot of questions around, look, we can understand you attacking the issues and the like, and this is great. I think all the information you've just given us has just opened our eyes to actually what it is that your organization does. Oftentimes, we just hear surface level things. So thank you for that. But the question, I think, on a lot of people's minds is the fractures within your political organization itself. How have you managed to fix them? And are they still present? Because I'm not going to lie, a lot of people still mention them.
Yeah, of course. Of course, it's a conversation that is widely spoken of. Mm. The FF Youth Command is indeed a big organization at Mandela. So obviously, even the smallest things that we do are going to be a big conversation. They're going to trend because we are that kind of an organization that resonates with everyone that is in the public spectrum. Mm. Mm. So obviously, even the smallest thing that I do as an individual, that will always translate to the EFF Youth Command. Mm. Speaking about the fractures were there, yes. You would see two different groups doing this and that.
Yeah. Mm.
But through decisive conversations and decisive leadership, you are able to merge these factions. And now we have one united organization that is willing and ready to go and win SRC elections. Mm-hmm. So we the self-correction that I was speaking about, mm-hmm. it started at home.
Okay.
It started at home. We had to fix our house first. And then we can go and present ourselves as an alternative to students of Mandela. Mm. Mm. So we couldn't have done that if we are not able to fix our house. Mm. Today, our house is rock solid. Not even a wind can break it. Not even anything, in fact.
Not even a Facebook page.
Not even a Facebook page can come and break it. Mm. We are rock solid. No air comes in between.
Okay.
So what if in the future, like, basically what happens that they find issues again? So not saying there is going to be, but if in the future the house is looking a bit shaky, how, now that you are aware that, you know, now you are rock solid, how are you going to deal with it now differently than before?
I mean, now it's going to be a matter of experience, right?
Mm.
Now we've already experienced all these behaviors, characteristics, and all these feelings and emotions of students, or rather members of the EFF. Mm. So now we have a better appreciation of this particular process. So that means then we'll have a better way of dealing with it if it comes, if ever it comes.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to ever come, by the way, because the manner in which we have dealt with it now, it was so delicate to an extent that we do not see it happening in the next 5 years at Mandela. That is how well managed and how well we have dealt with this situation. It's not going to happen for the next 5 years, even if I'm not here as Olotu Kawoka. The leadership that is going to take over from us has been empowered. It has been given the necessary political tools to deal with such situations when they arise in the future.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us in studio. I think this concludes our interview. Is there anything that you want to say to the students before you go?
Of course, there are so many things that I would love to say to
the
students.
That.
Part of those, and in fact, integral to those, is Sicele Loveback, students of Mandela. The EFF Youth Command has self-corrected. It has understood its mistakes and flaws. Now we are ready to take over government. Please give us love back so that we can be your friend in governance, so that we can be the leadership that you've always wanted. Currently, we do not have leadership. We have minions of Daso and Helen Zille. We want to come and be a decisive leadership that is going to solve your issues when they come to us. In fact, we won't even need your issues to come to us, because we are with you. We are you and you are us. Your issues are us. and we're going to make sure that we deal with the issues on a daily basis. That's why today, again, I'm wearing a reflector. Tomorrow, I'm going to be wearing a helmet as well, sometime with Ikuza, just to show that we are ready to take over government and we are ready to work the ground with you. We are ready to be with you in the trenches. Unfunded students, we are going to be with you 100% all the way. Defunded students, we are going to be with you 100% all the way. Postgrad students, we are going to be with you 100% all the way. Even those who are not going to do academically well this year, come January, we are going to find accommodation for you. We are going to make sure that you register. Even the students who face student hunger, we are going to be there for you. We have ShopRite, we have Pick and Pay, we have Checkers that constantly receive money from our students. It is high time that they start popping a community responsibility here at Nelson Mandela. We need to have them pledging a serious number of food parcels for our students, because that is what is meant in business when they say there is a corporate social responsibility for all big established businesses. So now we are saying, as the leadership of the EFF Youth Command, we are going to go to all these big institutions and outlets to bring back services to this university, particularly for all poor and unfunded students who are here at Mandela. We'll be there for you. We are promising that the EFF leadership is going to be different from the leadership of DASO. We are going to make sure that all our challenges are dealt with decisively and with correct military precision and with correct humility and with proper leadership. Thank you very much.
Yes, that is presidential candidate Oluwatu Tauka from the EFF Youth Command. And we have many more that are going to be in studio with us throughout this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Abantwana bepikom nimzwile athi corporate social responsibility. Funza lushaka abantwana basekhaya. That's what we do here at Madiba's Radio. We connect and we inform. We also engage. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, I like
it. We are still here conversating with those who are contesting in the upcoming SRC elections, and it can only be the yellow, that yellow reddish,
that combination,
you know, that color, you know, that color combination, that specific one. The Marxist Leninist organization, also known as SASCO, and we are in studio with none other than, please, sir, introduce yourself.
My name is Oluwatu Kwelana. I'm a member of SASCO in good standing.
Mm-hmm. This is a man who pays a membership fee. Please, yes, put some respect on his name. More than anything, we're always asking, what is with the visibility of organizations on campus and what is going on with SASCO?
With the visibility of SASCO, mm-hmm, specifically, we've been working on the ground on campus. We've dealt with many issues, including the issues of defunded students, the ones that were defunded unfairly, the TVET cycle. We were working with different organizations, actually. We called different organizations and we said, look, this thing is above politics. You know, it's we need to put politics aside and work together in dealing with these student issues. And one of the agreements that we had when we were dealing with the issues to say that no organization should campaign using this thing, maybe take videos of giving students food. Yeah, well, so yeah. We've been working on the ground. Students know that, and we see that other organizations that want to claim that, oh, we were there, but students know where SASCO is, and it's on the ground.
Okay. I think let's go in chronology, right? SASCO was there at the very beginning when it was registration season and we were dealing with quite a lot. There were videos of some of your members on South Campus, if I'm not mistaken, Mbizweni building to be exact, and you were being pushed out of the building. Yeah, that's one of the biggest videos that came out. Mm. And then, you know, there was North Campus also at the financial aid office. So we can understand that you've been working and like dealing with student issues, but give us the chronology. What have you been doing since the beginning of the year, and what has been the vision and objectives of your political organization throughout this year particularly?
So we've been working, as I said, since the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. We have a campaign that we do each and every year, which is the Right to Learn campaign, which is focused mainly on the access to higher education. The reason behind that video that you're talking about in particular is there was a change in policy in the university, which was approved when the EFF YC was leading. Yeah, well, it's the point system. So the new criteria, and what they do is just take all this number of students, and they do not. Okay, can I just rephrase this?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so basically, point system. It's a very unfair system. It's unfair to students that are coming from schools from quintile 1 and quintile 2. So schools that are quintile 1 and quintile 2 are those schools that do not pay school fees. Yeah, well, now this system takes students according to ranking from the highest marks to the lowest. Yeah, well, so now students coming from schools as a quintile 1, quintile 2 do not have facilities that are similar to those schools that are in towns or suburbs. Yeah, well, so they do not have access to tutoring. So we said to the university, this system is very unfair to those coming from the poor and working background. Rather, have a first-come, first-served basis. Yeah, well, when we have a first-come, first-served basis, you know that students that are coming from these poor and working backgrounds can achieve a 60% umzekelo to enter. And then you'll get students coming from private schools, they'll have maybe an 80%. So you're saying that you'll exclude all of those coming from those quintal one because they do not have the same facilities or the same access to those tutors, same. Yeah. But as long as a student meets the minimum requirement, they should be accepted. As long as they are first to apply, that should be a fair basis, yeah, than taking according to the highest marks. Because really, look at our country's setup.
So you've been able to identify with student issues, informing them. What has your political organization been like with regards to educating students about politics, especially regarding things like the point system? Many people on campus are not really politically educated. Mm. How have you contributed to the political education of students on campus?
At SASCO, we've launched what we call the student charter. And our student charter makes it easier for all students to see the vision of SASCO on the transformation of higher education. With this student charter, we've made it accessible to all students. We've had an induction not so long ago to induct all the members of SASCO, and for them to be able to also articulate to other people that why, when a person asks you why you're a member of SASCO, you must not say, I'm a member of SASCO, I like their vibe, you know. you must be able to articulate what SASCO stands for. And with the student charter, it deals with a lot of things, man. It has six pillars, you know. One of the first three mainly is all students must have access to higher education. The second one is that all students must receive funding to really get the definition of free education. Yeah, well, the other one is that all students must live in a conducive environment, yeah, well, to enable them to succeed in higher education. So those are the things that we've been busy with in terms of educating students. And also with the student charter as well, we're not an organization that just puts down aims. We have ways on how to deal with things. For example, with dealing with the historical debt, you know, with the student charter, we clearly define it and we show them that the plan of us dealing with this historical debt is that universities must declare their funds, you know, that they have, because what is this? Yeah, universities must declare their reserve funds, of all the money that they've had or they've earned through a colonial era coming to date, and then all that money must be used to clear these funds. And we declare that as SASCO that any money that is not used to benefit students must be defined as waste. This money must be used to fix and renovate these buildings, because students not live there for free, they pay actually. So is the states of accommodation must be proper and for to allow students to succeed.
I like what you're saying. about the student charter and everything that you're telling me right now, it speaks to all of the student issues on campus. So if it's speaking to a conducive environment, it speaks to the accommodation issues that are faced by students. Free education speaks to funding. Education itself speaks to access. So all of these things are looking at different types of student issues that are affecting students on campus and off campus.
Yeah.
And you are from a very well-regulated, well-legislated organization.
Yes.
And the main question then becomes your implementation process. Because you have all of the theoretical background, the foundation. You've even educated the people that are in your organization. So how do you plan to implement all of these things that you've put forth?
With implementation, we've been implementing all. Yeah, well, mm-hmm. And now we understand when you implement, there are processes that need to be followed. You understand? Mm-hmm. For example, with implementation, one of the resignation of Nkabani, you know, the former higher education minister, you know, that was SASCO that said, no, this minister is not assisting us. Yeah, well, you understand? Mm-hmm. So it shows that the influence that SASCO has, you know, in the country. So we've been implementing when we see there's a need. And we need to change how things work and who can assist students better. We're there. So in implementation, we are really implementing.
Okay. Right. I like it. They're implementing on a national level.
It's not just on a university level.
Yes.
And like speaking of like a university level, like through a lot of your implementations and your actions, it seemed that like you're going directly against NMU and the higher education entity as a whole. Mm. And I feel like a lot of students also want to know, like, what exactly is SASCO's relationship with the higher institution? In a sense of, like, if it comes down to it, is it, like, a sense of conflict? Or is it, like, because there's a fear of, like, at the end of the day, they might say they're going to fight for the students. And then when NMU's like, Aibo, then everybody's like, ooh. So,
step back.
Yeah, so it's like, is SASCO willing to go there with NMU knowing how big of an entity they are?
Yes, yes, that's why SASCO exists, actually. We're not a friend of management. We are there for the students, you know. So that is SASCO in general. You can see, you can recall in the beginning of the year, we were the only organization, actually, that was chased out here with fighting with bouncers, you understand? So it shows that, really, SASCO is not a friend of management. We had even an organization that took a video of us saying we distance ourselves from this thing that SASCO's doing.
Wow.
We are, so, yeah. So SASCO is ready to challenge the university and take them head to head with our influence that we have nationally and, yeah, with also the working, what do you call this?
The working class.
Not the working class, unions. Yeah, well, oh, our relationship. Yeah.
With your Nehaus and the like.
Yeah, because SASCO has a relationship with Nehaus. And now our relationships become beneficial in terms of student politics because in the olden times, when SASCO was in charge, you know, lack of a better word.
Yeah.
When SASCO was in charge, you knew that when students were facing an issue, the workers would support, and there would be the university would not function because it needs both entities to function.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so and when Nehao has a problem, SASCO would be there. So you understand, we have those relations in bringing the university into a halt when there's an issue on both sides. You understand?
I mean, we can open it up and look at it in this way, right? There was a debate last week, if I'm not mistaken, and one of your representatives was letting us know that SASCO has achieved quite a lot of things. They've done big things. But in this debate, they were opening it up to this. During the Must Fall movement, insourcing was a very big deal.
Yes.
And insourcing was brought alongside by student representatives. And SASCO was one of them, especially on this campus, especially Nelson Mandela, right? So we can see that you guys work alongside, you know,
unions.
Ground staff and trade unions, or even, and we've seen the work that you've done alongside them. We've also seen how present your organization was when Nehau had its strike for weeks on end in front of Mzweni, right here on campus. So we can see the work that you've done, your visibility within that regard. I think the main issue is when, I'll use our campus as an example. I'm on South. oftentimes when there are issues regarding MMS or registration and the like, yes, SASCO does seem to be there, but not as an entire organization, just a few members, just a few representatives. We've never seen you come out in numbers. So when do we see SASCO come out in numbers, and what exactly are you coming out in numbers for?
SASCO comes out in numbers and everything, you know. and when as SASCO, we can stand as a few, but stand for 1,000. Yeah, well, that's another thing. Also, we must also understand that we're not every time all of us are going to be available, because we are students at the end of the day as well. So when those few come, we understand that they stand for 1,000. They stand for 1,000 prayers, 1,000 hopes and dreams. So we are always there in numbers. And if we're not there, when there's a few, they stand for the many of us.
So does your student charter serve as your manifesto?
No, we have our own manifesto.
Where is your manifesto, and how can we access it? When can we access it?
Our manifesto is available on our social media thing as well.
Okay.
And students, we've been doing door-to-doors and giving students our manifesto as
well. Yes, so I've heard about the consultations that you've done for manifestos.
Yes, student-centered manifesto.
Yes, walk me through that. What was the decision behind that, and how has that been going?
The student-centered manifesto, it's not what SASCO would like to happen, it's what student would like to happen, and what SASCO should do for students. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going very well. We've completed our manifesto, and one of the key things, one of the few things that I'll name that we have on our manifesto is the issue of food parcels, to capacitate food parcels. We have now, and also increase the numbers. When I say capacitate food parcel, we're speaking about not only having food, and also having toiletries, because we understand the confidence of a student does not start when they are full in their stomach. You need to smell good, you need to look good, because when you go out of your residence, by the time you get to the shuttle, your armpits are really sweating, and you feel shy and timid, and you don't want to speak to people. So we understand that's why we want to capacitate food parcels, add your toiletries, add your deodorants there. Yeah, well? So that is what we are hoping to achieve, that we are going to achieve when we get into power.
Yeah, restoring the dignity of the student.
Yes.
Ultimately, them being human at the end of the day.
Yes.
I can appreciate the fact that you said it was important that all political organizations don't politicize many of the things that you are fighting for, considering the fact that more often than not, students have to perform their poverty in order to get anything. This is with food parcels, this was with shuttles and the like. And so I think the restoration of human dignity is important, and at least central to your message. My main thing is the theoretical knowledge that you always supply. I've been to your branch meetings, and I've sat, and I've been enamored with the information that I get. Why is it that we don't get this information just freely during the people?
But the information is there. It's on our social media. You can come to our meetings and become a member of SASCO. And then I see you love the theoretical knowledge of SASCO. Let me give you a membership, and then you'll get all this information.
They're
from
recruiting
me.
Us on air, Julie. No, but honestly, I think we are realizing the fact that we are moving towards a more digital space.
Yes.
With regards to the economy. And so capacitating people in that regard is so important, that we hear about like student issues, you'll hear about them, but there's not often a solution.
Yeah.
And I think political organizations are frustrating in the sense that they don't talk about their solution. And I think that's also part of the reason why I'm frustrated with SASCO in general, because you guys don't talk about the solutions. You have solutions, but not more often than not, we don't hear you speak about them. And I think that's why we ask about your manifesto, the student charter, you know, and the NDR. It's accessibility to this information, but also sometimes people need you to tell them said information. Which brings to, like, I guess the question about your visibility and what it is that you're doing when you're being visible.
No, the NEC that was recently elected took a stance of saying, let us go to the people, let us as we said, SASCO is a scientific organization. We have with everything that we do, we analyze, we understand. So we are facing a new generation called Dama2K. Mm-hmm. So most of these organizations that are here do not understand what is this generation of Dama2K, what do they like. But as SASCO, we took a direction of saying, let us go to the people. Where are these people, young people? They're on social media. If you go to a search of, for example, SASCO NMU, you will see that the content that SASCO is doing. Mm-hmm. You search SASCO UJ, they even educate you on the videos of on the principles of SASCO in a fun manner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so that is SASCO is being visible, and it is adjusting to how things are working and how people are, the patterns of people. So yeah.
And I feel like that's like a good strategy, but at the same time, I could argue that it's building a fan base and only targeting people who are SASCO fans and not like outsiders who are like interested in fixing the issues. Because I feel like when it comes to student politics, the main purpose is to fix the issues regardless of whether somebody's a SASCO fan or not. So it's like, how do you cater to people who are outside of that sphere?
Outside of the social media space.
Yes, because not everybody in a university space. Yes, we are engaged with social media, but not everybody uses it at the exact same level.
Yes, yeah. So not everyone's really political in their social media content. Yeah.
Hence, we have that student charter and have our members, our membership, and educate our membership base, because we understand that they go among students, they live with students each and every day. So if, for example, look at... Yeah, she's. I think now I can call you a SASCO member. Yeah, well, she's a SASCO member. Mm. So when she sit, yeah, hey. Allegedly, yeah, but yeah, we know the truth. So, for example, Kat, yeah, well, when she goes in a setting with her friends, they'll ask her, "My Kat, why are you a member of SASCO?" She can say, "I told me, you know, SASCO has this thing called a beautiful document called the Student Charter. The Student Charter does not only show you the issues that are in higher education, but it actually tells us how to actually attend to these issues. How are they planning to cancel student debt, historical debt? And they tell you on how to improve, or you know, not even improve, to deal with the issue of unemployment. Mm. Yeah, well, and the curriculum that must be, yeah, well, curriculum. What is decolonizing the curriculum? Mm. When we decolonize the curriculum, we want students to be employable. So when you decolonize, you say the curriculum must meet the country's needs, what we need as a country now. We must not just produce, we must produce what we need as a country to develop and go further. Yeah, well.
Oh, I can give a direct quote. And this is from the BGM, ne? Proposals through the Student Charter have called for the decommodification, decolonized, revised, and revolutionized education that flow into mainstream economy to ensure the employment of young people. Very interesting. Not oftentimes heard.
True.
And it's a different way of thinking. And I think more often than not, I guess, SASCO and your colors are very synonymous with that one party. And that one party has been very complacent in its time.
Yes.
And so being synonymous with that has always just been like, oh, SASCO's telling us about the things that they did way back when and not what it is that they're currently doing. So what do you have to say to the students of Nelson Mandela regarding the upcoming SRC elections?
I'm saying to the students of Nelson Mandela to make an educated vote and vote for the organization that understands the student issues. Not only understanding the student issues, any organization can promise to do things. Not all organizations have a formula in dealing with this or have a track record in dealing with student issues and making big changes within the universities. We've seen a student organization coming into SRC when there were positive things implemented by their successors or their predecessors, the SRC that came before them. And then when they get into power, they do not protect the gains, but fight for something else and lose what they already have. For example, the concessions. We were the organization that came with the concession. Now the concession criteria is it's failing students. Not a lot of students are able to access higher education. The criteria is not even more. It's not even inclusive anymore. Mm. You know, so as SASCO, with that organization that says, when there are gains that have or positive things that are done by other organizations that came before us, we must protect those gains and fight for more.
Mm.
We understand that, hence I say students should take an educated vote, and for organizations that won't politicize their issues and go around campaigning that I helped Katlego eat tonight, you understand, but knowing that that is the right thing, that is what they are supposed to be doing at the end of the day.
Well, that was Sasko, and they brought you hard-hitting facts with a lot of their theories and their regulations. Thank you so much for honoring the invite and joining us in studio today. And we cannot wait to see what is going to happen later this week.
Gotta go down.
Yeah, students will do the right choice. We'll take the right choice.
Okay, we believe in you, students. Make the right choice. Thank you. Well, we did tell you we have all of the political organizations with us in studio, and so it only makes sense that we have one of the many green parties on campus. And we have somebody very special from there, a representative, the chairperson of BASMA. Let us know, so who are you? To whom are we speaking?
Hello, everyone. My name is Senator Magaji, and I'm originally from Mthatha. Ilale kuthiwa kusetabase, abatabase location is. We call it Emagqongweni where I come from. So people from Mthatha, they do know it. So I'm currently doing a BA in Development Studies, and I'm a chairperson of a BASMA, and I reside here, madam, resided at SSV, since the Sanlam Student Village.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking all things, you know, politics and SRC elections. And I think the biggest question that everybody always just asks whenever they come across BASMA is, where are you guys? You guys are not visible. And the thing is, your ideology is so strong that many people resonate with it, but your visibility is what's lacking. Where have you been?
BASMA is around, yes. We have been around for some time, yes. But I will say that maybe it is our problem whereby we are not everywhere, because it's due because of resources and everything. You must understand that we are coming from the PAC. The PAC is one of the political party that doesn't have funding, so it's hard to be visible everywhere. You see, so we depending on the. On the grant that we are getting from the school and the membership grant. So it is hard for us to go and everywhere. You must know that you must have transport to be everywhere. You must have resources to give out maybe snacks and everything, cook for students. But we always do our best to make sure that we are visible for the students. We are always there. We are always assisting them with every issues that they are finding themselves in. So we've been around, man. We are around. We are not going anywhere.
Well, we saw you at the very beginning of the year when there was protests regarding registration, particularly for students with accommodation issues that had, I think, threshold issues with regards to their marks, and then also just the tuition fees issue. So we were all there in front of North Campus during that big protest. I remember that. What have you done throughout the year? Let the people know. What have you been doing? You are around, but how have you been around?
Okay, for the start of this year, now we had that issue, which is, it was a big challenge, which is still a challenge. I think it will still be a challenge for each and every year if it's not being solved as soon as possible, which is the accommodation issue and the registration issue. So we are having this issue each and every year. At least last year, now we've managed to cover this issue, ne? But not to 100%, because last year we had the same issue, which is it was the accommodation, which is we've managed to form something that was called SAT, which is a student assistant task team. Which is it? We were formed with other political parties, but I won't be mentioning their names here. Yes, so we were able to assist the student housing, and we are working close with the student housing. So we've managed to secure the Solomon Mahlangu residence, which is it were meant for male. Then we turned it to female accommodation.
That was you.
Yes, yes. So that was one of the achievement that we've made. And also we took some of the students to the spaces around the campuses, on campus residences, to fill them, so that we are left with the less number that were taken to costing accommodation. So for this year, when we started, you know, you see that the number of the unfunded student raised, doubled to the number of last year. So it was a big challenge for us because now there was no set anymore because we had a new SRC, which is that wanted to take over everything. So it was so hard to say that we can be able to fight for students whereby. So we were able to work with them during the protest so that we can try to find a way for the students. And now remember that the Solomon Mahlangu residence was already established female accommodation. So meaning now some of the students that were staying there, they are coming back. And then some of the students will be taken from the first year's accommodation to the second year's accommodation. So it was so hard to have enough space for these all of the students. But like that, the SRC was doing at least their best to at least to take the students to Costin and to some various accommodation like Ocean View and so on. So just they were able to assist that. So what we did, you know, we had the program that we were running at with Dean of the Students, which is that program was given to each and every Lendo political party, which is that wanted to take place. But some of the political parties were doing what they want with the food that, but I won't be mentioning those things. Yes. So because that food that we were given by the Dean of Students was meant to assist the unfunded students that were staying off camp to these residences. So some of the police, they were doing whatever they wanted to do, eat the food or give to the students around. So, you know, we were making sure to each and every day we take that food to off campus residents we buy the unfunded students are residing at. So we were, most of them were staying at Costin. So we've been going to Costin daily and giving them food up until the Dean of Students says that now the funds are exhausted. So we cannot no longer keep on with this program. So you might try to find the way on your own on how to deal with the students. So yes, we tried to do it with our own way, which is also lasted short time because we don't have funding.
Yeah.
And we also given a small grant from the school, right, like any other parties they are given. So since Basma, we don't know too much because we know it's the politics of NMU and so on. But we managed to, when the time goes, there were also some students what were defunded. I think it was around March, May. Yes, and then we had to fight for these students. Then we went to the to financial aid. Yes, and then also there were some other political parties. Then we formed one thing to work together to solve this issue. Then after that, we were given by the student governance now a chance to assist the students. We so had to submit the number of the students that are facing this problem. And we submitted all the list of the students, and then they asked us, Kutuba, what do we want, how do we want to run the program for the students so that they can be assisted. We said, okay, since we know that this program is given to many political parties, for us, can you just try to get our food so that we can cook for them? So we can know that, okay, we will go to each and every place where my students are residing. So we cooked for the students. Imagine that we have to cook from the morning, starting from 9 to 10. Remember that we also do have classes, we also do have tests.
Yeah.
So we had to sacrifice our time. It was to make sure that, okay, we cook for the students. And then we made sure with most of the students that we defended and also for hosting at Solomon, around town, Costin and Central and North End. So we asked for the transport also from the state. Can you try to at least provide us with the transport so we can be able to go to these places? And then we located all the students. Imagine how many students and for the students. We located all the students from on campus, Boma, Solomon, Sarah, and North Campus, SSV, and Town, Central, North End. The last stop was always Costin. So we made sure each and every day we at least cook for about 200 to 300 students a day. So it will also depend to what we are cooking. And also try to make sure to whatever that we're cooking, it does at least accommodate at least most of the students. Because on our list, we're almost about 300 and something students. Mm. So we try all our best, and also we know what. Okay, also some other political parties they also drive this car campaign thing. So they can also assist where they can. So there's a chance that we cannot be able to accommodate all of them. But at least if we accommodate at least 80% or 90% of the students, at least we are doing something. So we've been running that program up until the time of the last day of the exams.
Yeah.
So now since we couldn't be able to move forward with that program because now students already going home.
Yeah.
So it was just few students left because now academics are already over. So we came back second semester, which is whereby we have that program that we're actually running each and every year, which is it's a toilet drive. We actually wanted to run that program maybe monthly or term. But again, now because of funds and everything, we are able to run it annually. So at least once per year. So to give the unfunded students toiletry, which is the toiletry is for male and for female, which is it includes a Colgate, a toothpaste, a roll-on, a Lendo, a soap, and also a Lendo, done, yeah, so okay. it and also for ladies, it also involves Ilento,
yeah.
Sanitary pads. Mm. So we've been doing that for each and every year. So for this year, we only did it for this second semester.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we've been on the ground. We've been assisting students a lot, and so some of them they will text to us privately because they don't want to be revealed.
Yeah.
But this is what they are facing. And they know that the students, with whatever they are facing, we know that, but we will respond to them. Anytime, any place, we will respond to them and we'll attend to their matters.
Mm.
So we've been working closely to make sure that some of the students, with their issues that they are facing in the residences of campus, we attend them.
Mm.
And then we talked with the managers to see the better way to solve this solution. Remember that now it's also a problem with off-campus, most of the off-campus residents, because most of them now, they are no longer under the NMU portal, they are under NSFAS portal. So now NMU will say, we are not involved. While we know, but in these residences, these are our students that are staying there.
Mm.
These students are from Nelson Mandela University, so we need to make sure that we are there for them. Even though my management will say no, they are not involved. But us, as the political parties, we need to go there and assist those students. So we've been assisting them, those students, a lot. Then we've been trying to do that. We've been working close with them and making sure that their issues are solved.
Okay. Yes.
It's quite impressive how, like, despite, like, maybe the financial barriers and the idea of, like, you guys not being seen around on campus, you're still trying to make an effort and still trying to be there for the students. Although, I will say, some people may say that, the funds thing is not an excuse, but that's a whole other different conversation. But I want to ask, like, through all your efforts, what is the one thing you would say, like, from all these projects that PASMA stands for? Is it the connection? Is it the making the difference? Is it the action? What is that one thing you would say that it stands for?
Actually, I think let me just tell you firstly about what PASMA stands for.
Mm-hmm.
PASMA stands for Pan-African Student Movement of Azania. Our goal is to empower African students. We believe in Pan-Africanism, the unity and the progress of all people of Africa. We fight for free and socialist education that serves people. We stand against capitalism, imperialism, and all forms of oppression. Our motto is to mobilize, educate, and strive for socialist education. So this motto guides us. Yeah, when it comes to mobilize, it means organizing students to take action and fight for their rights. Educate means teaching students about why problems like debts and inequality exist so that they can act with understanding. And strive for socialist education means working with an education system that is fair, accessible, and serves all students, not just a few. Basically, we organize, educate, and fight for a just education for all African students. So, with all I can say that we are making sure that all the students are treated fair and equal. All African students. all the students. I don't want to say African student because now it's going to be like since we must understand that now we are in this institution. We have also students from other countries like Europe and so on. So we don't want to treat them as if like they are not students. Mm-hmm. So when they are here, we are saying like we are treating students equally. So we need to make sure each and every student is given a chance to have accessible education, a proper education, and also they make sure they are being educated about what is going on within the system of the organization, so that when they go to the ground and fight for something, they know about, okay, we have taken these steps in this and this, so now we are here. So we need to make sure we don't just take action without understanding what's the cause of it and what the steps can be taken. So our aim is to make sure all the students are getting this free education that we were promised, that we said we are given. Because we were given a free education. And we also try to make sure the students are not here to stay. They make sure that they have to pass. So that is why we've been creating like a Boma commuter literacy program whereby students, because we saw that most of the students were suffering a lot when it comes to commuter literacy. ITVL is one of the modules that we're giving hard to students. Mm-hmm. So we were making sure, we saw this problem and we said, no man, how about we do this program? Yeah, so that student can benefit something, and then it was so successful. But we had a challenge to do it this year because of these issues of the students, that there are too many issues that we, especially for this year. So if some of these issues that happened this year are happening again like last year, I'm telling you that we are really having a serious issue in the NMU, actually in the SLC first. Okay, well, so our purpose is to make sure that students are educated, and we make sure that they are given a chance to be listened to, and then we hear their voice about what do they want the change. Because I believe that even if you are a leader, you must go again to consult to the students and hear what do they really want, and then you can sit down and say, okay, this and this, it can be solved by this way, and this and this and this. So that we can go back to them again, saying, "But okay, students, we've so good, but you are dealing with this issue. Let's say MMS issue." Mm-hmm. Then we went to the management and we talked to them. So now this is the best way to deal with this. So if they say, "Okay, from let's say if you say that MMS they are given 100% to ELNCF, let's say okay, to this MMS 50% will be going to you now, student, and 50% will be going to the MMS thing that you will be buying at CAF." Mm-hmm. So we are, I don't say we are not limited when it comes to this program. We want to be there to each and every problem of the student. So I can't say that Basma stands only for this, or Basma only fights only for this. Mm-hmm. Each and every problem. That is why we are trying to make sure, at least for next year, because the plan for this year was also try to expand from this issue of Ilendo program that we're running, Ilendo community literacy. We'll try to do the economics one, because most of the children are struggling when it comes to economics. Mm-hmm. So we were already trying to do that, because due to the challenges that we were facing during the year, so we had to not to ignore them. So now if we might have a smooth year from the start, I'm telling you, we can be able to run this program smoothly. And also another program that, because of this thing of some politics that are happening in this NMU, it's the thing of, you see that there's Umthonjeni here.
Yeah.
The Umthonjeni thing, it's not actually assisting most of the students, because the reason why I'm saying I'm also part of the package of the students that were never assisted by the Umthonjeni. So I think it was 2022, 2023, when I called Umthonjeni. I was going through a lot because of academics, so yeah. I just wanted to talk with someone. Then someone called me, I think after 3 days, I was called, and then they asked about my issue and so on and explained. And then I told them, okay, I will be referred to a peer helper and so on, so I must wait for that. I waited and I'm still waiting for till today.
What?
For that response. Yeah, but So I'm telling you that ontogenic thing is yeah. So I wanted to create a program of mental health whereby let's say that as a student we sit together, whereby it's a group of students that are sitting together and we talk about our problems and we find a way to how do we fix them. We make sure that it's more like it's a safe space for you. So let's say that we sit together. It's more like those things of AA meetings.
Yeah. Yes. I think they have that with Ebhlanti. The only difference with Ebhlanti is that it's just for men.
That's the
so
thing.
So it really isn't about, you know, like the full student population. Yes. But you understand the fact that, honestly, that being a safe space for those young men is interesting and it's interesting. Helpful. Mm. But yeah, it does leave out a certain demographic on campus, and that does call to question.
Yes.
I think what I've noticed about what you've been saying is you've spoken about a thread of working alongside other political organizations, which is really, really cool because more often than not, you'll see political organizations fighting against each other, but you're willing to work alongside all of them in order to make sure that students are taken care of. So I think the question then we'd have to ask is, you are student-centered more than you are politics-centered.
Yes.
And you have a theoretical foundation on everything. What I want to know is, if you were leading the pack and you were the one who was standing at the top with all of these people all together, what would you do for students on campus and how would you go about it?
I think the first step to always solve the student issues is to consult them and find out what's the real problem. Because you might find out that some of the problems, things that you can solve it easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but so you need to find what's the real core problem so that we can have all these problems together. Then we sit down as all the political parties and we try to find a way. Yeah, because at the end of the day, we are all here because we want to fight for the students. So we must try to put our differences aside and then we try to make sure that the student issues are dealt with. So that way I'm saying that I will call all of them together and we sit down. Comrades, this is the issue. How do we deal with this issue? And this issue, when the victory comes back, it's not mine. It's ours.
Yeah, because you put your heads together.
Because we put our head to together. There's no way that I can be able to run this thing alone.
True.
Yeah, but there's no way. We can lie to say, I can run it. There's no way we can run the organization or the student issues alone. Yeah, but so we need to try to, at least each and everyone, try to bring their opinion and everything. So that if we can put all our minds to together as the organizations, I'm sure that most of the issues can be solved easily. Because you might find out that some of the organizations, they know this office. Okay, if you have this problem, you can go there. Then they can bring that on the table, and then this one will say, okay, we are close to this management, to this person, and then I think we can find a solution from there. Then bring that thing along, we can put it there on the table, then we'll discuss, okay. So if we say that, okay, we have all these problems, we can say, okay, when Nina guys, you can go and attend this one, Nina attend this one, this team attend this one, this team attend this one. And then we attend this one. Then we come back, maybe let's say, after 3 days with the report on how things are now. Because I believe that if we are facing these issues, we need to make sure that we are reporting, like, is it a daily or at least after two days, let's bring something so that we can say that there is a progress. Because if you are not coming forward with the issues that you are dealing with, you are keeping information to yourself, you will know what way are we standing. So at least if you are coming forward, it's okay now, since we've had this our meeting, then we've delegated people to go there, bring back the reports. Good, how far are you now? And how far are you? And we can say, we are doing great here. Because at the end of the day, we must know that the priority is the students. But again, in this,
we know how it works.
We know how it works.
It's tricky. It really does. What is your manifesto looking like? How can we access it? And has it been launched?
Thank you for that. Tomorrow, Mm-hmm. We are launching our manifesto, and we'd also like to invite you guys. Ne? Okay. It's more like it's a fun day / Basma manifesto launching. So we'll be hosting it at Elita Free Expression Space. Yes. So also doing games, outdoor and indoor games. Mm-hmm. So it will be more fun the way that we want to make our manifesto before we can post it into our page. So we'll be posted. Okay. We'll be posting it to tomorrow right after our event. Mm. But we want to do it different this time because we know how things are now, and also the social media trends. And now we need to go along. We need to move along with the trends and everything. Yeah. So we're not, we don't want to stick to the old things. So we're trying something different on how to address the our manifesto. But otherwise, everything it's
said. What time is your manifesto launch tomorrow?
The program starts from 1 p.m. up until 5 p.m. Okay. Yes.
Full day experience.
Full day, right? Yes. Full day, fun day for real.
And also be prizes.
For nice. Games.
Yes, there will be prizes also.
Okay, this is really, really cool. I think I love the fact that you've shown us what it is that Basma stands for, what it is that you've done throughout the year, and what it is that you're hoping to do moving forward. Being adaptable and willing to work alongside other political organizations says quite a lot about your work ethic. And I think the main thing is just, I guess, besides visibility, it's resources.
Yeah,
resources. Being empowered by resources would be, you would push quite a lot of the things that you're hoping to. Because from what I'm hearing, I mean, all of the initiatives you've spoken about that aren't happening this year are because there's a lack of resources, which is really saddening. But I think it's very interesting to see where you are coming from, and I'm waiting to hear all about the manifesto. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for everything.
The best youth station in the Bay. Mativa's Radio.
Today we are interviewing an SRC presidential candidate, the one and only from the Democratic Alliance's student organization, coming through. Usomila Komani. Hi, ma'am.
Hello, Kat.
How are you doing today?
Nyaphila njani.
Nyaphila. You are currently a presidential candidate, but I need you to walk me through the chronology of your ascent in politics. How did you get into politics, especially here at NMU?
My journey with DASO started in 2021 when I was a first year. Mm-hmm. I didn't take them serious. I remember when Rihanna, my neighbor, got me into it, but I didn't take them serious until 2023 when I faced a problem of 60 credits.
Okay.
Started facing the problem in 2023. DAS was in power at that time. Mm. They assisted us as students. 2024, they started bringing me in into the leadership things. But I started leadership at RES as a housecom.
Okay.
I moved to being a mentor for my faculty in engineering. Forgot to say I'm an engineering student. Yeah, so last year I was doing my final year. I failed one module in June.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, I'm so hurt. But like, there's some people who are like, no, don't be hurt. We'll help you through. Mm. Just be active. We'll help you through with everything. And I've always been active in DASO, but I never wanted to be part of leadership. Joined the branch as a deputy chairperson from North Campus. And then from there, I was nominated as the faculty rep of engineering.
Yeah.
Yes, that's how I started my SRC journey.
Okay, so from what I'm getting from this is, first of all, you're an academic at heart. Yes. Engineering is no joke.
Yes.
That's a serious, serious faculty to be a part of. Yes. And being a mentor and then going on to actually be a faculty rep means you're doing a lot of fantastic work.
Yes.
So what have you done this year? Like, we know that DASO has had the Meal a Day initiative and the likes. What is it that you've done that's contributed to the mission?
Starting from January, we were facing an issue of, we have this new system of ranking system in the university where they accept students, first-year students, according to their APS. So I started working there at admissions, assisting the first years who were coming in with their applications, those who had missing documents. From admissions, I did all the work at admissions. From there, I did the bailout. I brought back bailout fund has always been there for DASO. But this year, I'm the one who said, guys, let's bring it back because of the challenge I was coming across at regarding concessions, students having debts from 2023 and being able to register because of debts of 2024, 2023 also, and 2022. So I came up with let's bring back bailout fund. We tried sourcing out funds, even though we didn't get enough sponsors.
Yes,
that was so hectic. So we took out from our own budget of SRC, donated 500,000 towards our student debts, assisted with the administration of that. Also, another thing I've been doing, I stay on campus. So I've been an active
SRC member.
Yes, I've been an active SRC member, especially to the on-campus first years.
Yeah.
Started at the beginning of the year when they came to me with the MMS issue. I took it into my desk because I realized I'm the only SRC member who was close to the issue. Yes. So I took it into my hands, into my office. Worked with the first years. I would include them because without them, a lot of things would not have been approved.
Yeah.
Without their support, the first years and DASO. So with DASO, I advocated for them to receive at least 1,400 in June instead of 316 because they were going home. Some people don't have money for transport.
Yeah.
So I made sure I wrote emails to the dean. I wrote emails to the financial aid people requesting that at least give them their full allowance because they're going home.
Yeah.
They don't have to eat at the CAF. So I fought for that. It went well.
They
received 1.4. Yes.
Yeah.
When they were coming back, they also faced an issue of running out of the funds as soon as possible. So we had an initiative with Dr. Nduli where we give them meals, but we realized that it was a bit too expensive when you give them those meals from the CAF.
Yeah.
So we tried getting something that is a bit more cheaper and more affordable, which was the Meal a Day initiative. It was not, I didn't start it. Mm. It was a continuation of Meal a Day where we got donations from the dean, got donations from Dr. Nduli and student housing to cook for these students for at least 4 days.
Okay. That's a lot of work. And I mean, it speaks to different issues that are faced, from student hunger to access problems to even accommodation and tuition.
Yes.
So I can imagine it's been quite a big thing. But more often than not, I mean, when it comes to election time, we hear a lot about manifestos.
Yes.
And last year you had a 7-point manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
It included better governance, financial aid, academics, safety for all, better health services, and international students manifesto along with UADS. So from what I'm hearing, you did help with financial aid, especially with the decentralization of NSFAS. With governance, you also helped out. And I think what remains is just like a few of those kinks. Your datas and the like, that's still always a problem. People are still crying about parliament, student parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also just the clinic booking system being unrealistic. What does your manifesto look like this year?
Our manifesto this year, we still haven't forgotten about data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some issues, they don't just change within a day or two, but it's a process.
Yeah.
So we are working on the data issue. We've spoken to the DVC of Learning and Teaching, send emails to that because they will have an issue of Wi-Fi off campus.
Mm.
Off campus students are struggling to study when they're home, so at least when you have data, even though the Wi-Fi is glitching, you can still continue studying.
Yeah.
So also when it comes to the clinic bookings, it's really, really unreliable.
Yeah.
Even with the food parcels there, we can no longer book for them. I think it's important that next year we have better governance where at least the system of the clinic must change. ICT should do something about that. I've always asked those ladies there in the clinic because I'm always going there every month.
Yeah.
They told me that, no, they're working on it. They're working on fixing their system. Mm. It has something to do with the ICT part. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So it's just been bureaucratic red tape happening for the most part.
Yes.
And I mean, I cannot have you here and not ask you about the very big elephant in the room. I think we had a debate earlier this week, and for the most part, a lot of people were phrasing their questions towards you as DASO. And the main question was, what is it about your values here as a student organization as compared to your mother body? And do you have anything to say regarding that?
Regarding that, I remember someone asked me what do you mean when you speak about free education and DA? I didn't speak about that. I'm a normal girl like everyone. We all come from black families.
Yeah.
All come from ekasi. You know, we all have the same struggles. But looking at the DA funding model, the NSFAS, because they've submitted their own NSFAS funding model. If you even look at Garabo in Parliament fighting for us, they through the Minister of Higher Education, I believe that DA do stand for us as black students, do stand for us as students from the poor background, that the funding model of theirs doesn't only focus only on us, it even focus even on the middle missing
middle
class. So the fact that they're saying DA doesn't align with free education doesn't make sense to me, because during FISMAS 4 Daso was leading at NMU and they didn't say that they don't want FISMAS 4, but the main thing was that at least what about those ones who come from rich families? We can't say they should also get free education, but yes, we need free education. It's a right. It's our right to receive free education.
It's
our right to receive a dignified, to be in a dignified environment in a university. It's our right to get a bed inside a res.
Yeah.
So I believe in that. I'm a student. I don't know much about DA, all the national politics.
The policies,
yes, but I'm focusing more on the student politics. So on our side, we stand with you guys. Free education, we have bailout fund that bailouts people's debt. We're fighting the new credit of people that has been sent to bed. That at NMU it's been happening for so many years. I heard them speaking about it a month ago, people saying, oh, let's send this new law or act, I'm not sure what is of debts. So with us, we've been fighting the debt thing for since 2021, and I got here, bailout fund has been there with us. So they've raised a lot of money clearing student debts. So we do believe in free education. We do stand for free education, and it is our rights as people. So our organization, the only thing our people will have is that they expect it to be white dominated or something like that.
Yeah.
We believe in diversity. We believe in opportunities. We believe in fairness. So it should be fair. Everything should be fairness. At least you can't be excluded financially. While you are excelling academically, and people tell you that, no, you can't register again because you owe the institution. It's unfair because we are working hard. You have a right to have education, have a right to have a qualification. So, yeah.
I think we're finding now more than anything that while all of these things are happening, it's kind of hard to maintain kind of a brave face in the face of a lot of things that are happening. Every year, we always find that at registration time, there is strikes that happen. And it's because of the fact that there's no accessibility, both to accommodation or even your academics. And understanding historical debt means knowing that these things plague students, not just at the beginning of the year, but throughout the year. So what is it that you have to say to students regarding this? And also, how do you inform them about how the bailout fund works?
Unfortunately, this year the bailout fund didn't work the way I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Because of we didn't receive enough funds, and also the bailout fund, it's something that has everyone has a right to.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You don't have to be a DASO member. It's something to do with all students of NMU. If you're a student of NMU, you have a right to be part of bailout fund as long as you qualify for the bailout fund.
Yeah.
So bailout fund checks the academic performance. We're doing it this year, we're mostly focusing on the students where you have a debt of 2023 or 2024. You can't register, but you've passed very well academically. So it's unfair for you to be excluded because of finances.
Yeah.
So we were focusing mostly on those students, even though we tried putting in some students who were lacking even academically. Then from the university rejected the list, brought it back to us and say no to these ones because they are failing, but it's still unfair. Why don't you give them a second chance to the ones and then give them at least a proper guideline, like mentors, give them tutors to at least excel academically and give them a second chance. So bailout fund, that's how we did it. We reached out to all students. Everyone can get it. Just follow our page, DASO NMU.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. I think a lot of people have these questions.
Yes.
And there are a lot more, obviously, that people have. How have you gone into creating your manifesto? I know more often than not, there is a need for a student-centered manifesto.
Yes.
So how have you compiled your manifesto this year?
Our manifesto, we started with, we have our UADS like we did last year,
yeah,
focusing on the UADS students. We have international students.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have the general issues, like even faculties. Each faculty has its own issues, like engineering students there in IT, they would like to have at least their labs to be open 24/7.
Yeah.
Like us, they in mechanical engineering and electrical, our labs are open 24/7. We have access anytime to the lab. So we are focusing on also faculties, each with Faculty of Health Science. We worked very hard getting the students of radiography, accommodation to wherever hospital they are placed in, transport,
mm-hmm,
for the radiography, even the medicine students, even nursing students, assisting them with that. So we also focus on each faculty, and then we also have our general issues, which is shuttle cards.
Mm.
That one is another issue that was that is a system that was that came to us through the EFFYC,
yeah,
SRC last year. Mm. So we came into the system where there is already the shuttle card issue, but we fought with it because it's working against unfunded students. We will still continue fighting for the unfunded students, even for the students who are staying at Utenik and Missionville. The fact that their shuttles were cut off due to the new system of NSFAS of only not giving the university money for the transport but sending it to the accommodation, which is unfair.
Mm.
They are not considering the students that are staying at home. So we are still fighting through the minister that is deployed by the DA, the Deputy Minister of Higher Education. We're still fighting through them, as we did fight through her for the defunded students, the TVET students, and also the late registration students. So our manifesto is based on the general students' issues, faculties, international issues, UAD students, because it's important to look into the UAD students.
Yeah.
They are very important to us.
Accessibility is a very big thing, especially, yes, for people with disabilities.
Yes.
And the thing about it is disabilities are all around. So it's not just physical disabilities. Some people have invisible disabilities, some others have epilepsy and the like.
Yes.
So it's making sure that those people are also taken care,
yes,
of. Where else can people get all of this information? I think it's all good and fine hearing it, but I think a body of maybe a document of some kind for students to be able to access
it. We will do the manifesto.
Yes.
We'll launch it, I think, soon. We'll launch it and share it on our Facebook,
okay,
Instagram and TikTok.
Mm.
Also with, I wanted to speak about the UADS.
Yes.
The UADS. It's really important there. And also we need to look into the the Department of Higher Education needs to come and look into the policy of each and every university,
mm,
and check how are they accommodating these UADS students. Because it's important for them to have access.
Mm.
It's important for them to get an accommodation that is proper to accommodate the disability, whereas it could be a wheelchair, whereas it could be a blind. And also, I think it's important for us as students to attend those programs hosted by UADS,
yes,
where they're teaching about students who have autism, students who are blind,
mm,
students who uses the sign language,
yes,
to speak, for us to also understand the sign language. I'd also love to mention that in our manifesto, we would like to see lecturers at NMU having a person who's translating.
An interpreter. For
someone, yeah, an interpreter, yeah, for someone who is using sign language. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, we're seeing it in different universities. I'll say this. The University of the Free State, in most of their classes, there's somebody, if you are someone with a disability, mm, they'll always have someone who's interpreting the lecture. At University of Johannesburg, there's accessibility for physical.
Yes.
So there's elevators, there's ramps all around, making sure that you can get in and out of class. I think one of the biggest issues has been UADS is located at the new admin building on North Campus.
Yes.
And that office is only accessible via stairs.
Mm.
And so that's also another thing, is how are you supposed to access a disability office
mm,
when in of itself, it's inaccessible for people who are necessarily supposed to use it. So it is interesting to hear that you are taking part in policies to that element. Yes. Do you have anything to say to our listeners? What do you have to say to the students of Nelson Mandela ahead of these SRC elections as a presidential candidate?
I think it's important, especially for first years, to not forget where we started with them. Our campaigning didn't just start now or in August. It started in January when we were given an opportunity to govern. We made sure we are visible to students.
Yeah.
We made sure in January the campus was definitely blue. All over, you'll find us in admissions, you'll find us in accommodation, you'll find us in financial aid. So now to all the NMU students, I want to say to them, make the right choice. Vote, don't vote because of being influenced by people on TikTok. Politics are not on TikToks. The real issues now are here on the ground. We need people that have been on the ground who understand how this system works, who understand how to fight for students. Because fighting for students, it's not you going to stand and ban tires. The university will just look at you, they're banning tires and not care, without you having a proof of, oh, I've been sending these emails, I've sent the petition, I've sent the list of students who need need your attention. Until then, when they are not giving you that attention or not giving you a solution, that is the time for you to go to the street and say, we need you guys to listen to us, we need your attention. So that's how we've been working as DASO. And looking forward to these elections, I'm still happy with the fact that I was given this opportunity as a woman.
Yeah.
I feel like this organization always gives us this platform as females to not just be just there, but also lead.
Yeah.
And give us the platform to show people that we also got it as women. So looking forward to these elections, I'm pleading with students of NMU to vote for me to be the incoming president of the district, because I have experience in this SRC things and I understand how to even balance the SRC thing with also my schoolwork.
Yeah.
It's important also, that one. So I understand how everything is going with inside the university, and also, yeah, looking forward to the Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, we have a very, very big week ahead of us.
Yeah.
But I look forward to seeing the work that you do. I mean, I know you have Erasmus alongside many other political organizations later today in North End. So good luck with that. And we look forward to seeing all of the things that you come up with. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me.
The best youth station in the Bay.